Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, and to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. With all the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, we're off to a great start if we the people get involved. Remember, we the people are sovereign under God Almighty, and we delegated authority to government. Yeah, and we give different authority to different governments, dividing separations of powers to make sure no one gets too powerful. We, on this broadcast, do not seek for power. We seek to pull it down. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Man, I'm telling you right now, our event for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association going gangbusters, baby. It is out of control. It is awesome. We packed the house. The first hotel's already sold out. Now we're feeding people to a second hotel. It's growing by leaps and bounds, and there's probably going to be standing room only, and you better get your ticket if you want to go, or you might end up out of luck. TheLibertyConference.com is where you go for that. If the link doesn't work for some weird reason, go to CSPOA.org and click on the link for the conference, and man, you can sign up and get involved today. There are solutions on the way, baby. Good, honest, hardworking, God-fearing Americans are standing together for the sacred cause of liberty, and you got to dig it. All right. Anyway, we're going to have Brian Rust with us in just a little bit. Honest Money Report coming up on your radio. But in the meantime, I've got some tidbits that are just wow. Headline, Tucker slams Christians for not being more like him. AmericanLiberty.news is where I got this piece. But I put a question mark after their headline. Because I'm just not quite sure it's as they say it is. Is Tucker really criticizing Christians for not being like him? Or do we have a fundamental discussion about reality that Tucker's bringing up? Let's listen to a little bit of it. It's a big old long clip, but I'll just listen to the first part and kind of make some points. Here he is.
A consistent but almost never noted theme of American foreign policy is that it is always the Christians who suffer. When there's a war abroad that the United States is funding, it is Christians who tend to die disproportionately. And this goes back a long way, 60 years, really, to Vietnam, where Catholics in that country were massacred. But it's accelerated. So, for example, during the more than a decade the U.S. government spent occupying Iraq, the ancient Christian community of Iraq was completely devastated. 9 out of 10 of them are no longer there. They're gone. That was an effect of our foreign policy, but it was almost never noted in the United States and almost never, ever even mentioned by Christian clergy in this country, many of whom supported that war and that occupation. Why is that? Maybe because it wasn't. Virtually no one in any American church said anything when Christians were killed in Syria, very often by Islamic extremists paid for by the United States. But nobody said anything, and anyone who did was denounced as a kook or a bigot somehow. Standing up for Christians was not allowed in the U.S. media. We saw that firsthand. And so, once again, it continued. In Ukraine, where the U.S. government has sent far more than $100 billion to the Ukrainian government, and what happened? What did that government do? Well, it banned an entire Christian denomination. The Zelensky government is busy throwing Orthodox priests and nuns in jail and having the army raid churches. But again, not a word. But what about Gaza? What about the entire region in the Middle East, where, of course, there's very intense fighting going on? Many Christian churches in the United States, particularly evangelical churches, support that. But there is virtually never a word about the Christians who live there, the ancient Christian community in Gaza, the West Bank, and Israel proper. So, because no one has said a word, there has been great suffering among the Christian population in that region. In October, a Greek Orthodox church in the Gaza Strip was hit by an airstrike. We're showing the video now. The church is in ruins. At least 17 people were killed that day. And again, that was hardly the first time that fighting in that region killed Christians. You'll remember the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem almost 20 years ago, where a clergyman was killed in the church with American weapons, and Christian clergy in our country said nothing. And you may be asking yourself, well, wait a second. If Christian leaders won't stand up for the lives of Christians, why have them in the first place? And that's probably a good question. So you would think that in Congress, where there are many self-professed Christians, somebody might be piping up on behalf of their brethren in the Holy Land. But no, just the opposite, in fact. For example, at a town hall event last month, Michigan Congressman Tim Walberg, a former evangelical pastor, said he would like to see the region treated like Hiroshima was treated. Watch this.
We shouldn't be spending a dime on humanitarian aid. I agree. It should be like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Get over quick. The same should be in Ukraine. Defeat Putin quick. Instead of 80% of our funding for Ukraine being used for humanitarian purposes, it should be 80%, 100% to wipe out Russian forces. If that's what we want to do.
So to be clear, as a theological matter, Christianity is not the religion of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It's the religion among all world religions that uniquely abhors mass killing. In fact, it is the religion that abhors mass killing. There's no excuse for that from a Christian perspective. And here we have a former pastor calling for it. But again, how are the Christians doing in that region, in Gaza, the West Bank, and in Israel proper? We almost never hear from them, and so we thought it would be interesting and maybe edifying to hear from one right now. The Reverend Munther Izhak is the pastor at the Evangelical Lutheran Christian Church in Bethlehem, and we're honored to have him join us. Father Izhak, thank you very much for coming on. So let me just ask you a broad question.
Anyway, all right, we'll let that go. Start. So this is a bottom line is what Tucker's saying is, why are we backing Israel so hardcore all the time? But yet at the same time, we don't really care about the Christians in any of those regions. They're all getting slaughtered and the churches bring nothing up regarding it. So to me, the point is, you know, the mainstream is saying, hey, Tucker slams Christians for not being more like him. I put a question mark because I don't believe that's accurate. What he's really saying is, why don't we care about Christians around the world? And the Christian religion advocates to follow the Prince of Peace and not go to war all the time. A humble foreign policy, as modern-day Ron Paul would call for, or ancient George Washington would stand for, right? And so this isn't about Tucker. I know that the headlines say that. But to me, this is more about Christians and about Israel. And why do we have just crazy support for Israel no matter what? I mean, this literal congressman says, you know, forget spending foreign aid. Let's just Hiroshima the folks. Let's just send them all to oblivion, get it over with and get it done. Let's do the same thing in Ukraine, he says. Why are we such a warmongering people? Why do we want to spend ourselves into oblivion and just be the murder nation of the world? And I think Tucker's onto something with this whole discussion. I don't know that I agree with Tucker on every point or not. It isn't about him. It's about Christianity. It's about the Prince of Peace. It's about choosing peace over war. It's about realizing that we're not the world's police. It's about understanding who we are and what we stand for and what we believe in. It should be about we, the people in America, having a moral compass to where we're self-governed. It's about us being a light on a hill, a Christian nation to share Christianity and a humble, kind, gentle, civil type discourse worldwide. Leading by example, killing them with kindness, if you will. Some people say that the word of God is more powerful than even the sword. We've got a role to play. America should be a light on a hill, not hid under a bushel. And sadly, we're, in my opinion, throwing that away. Even the Christians don't seem to get it. They're just like, hey, blow them all up to smithereens and let God sort them out. No, 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 no. People, come on now. The Prince of Peace taught that we should be kind and gentle and patient. Now, I get that he drove the sinners out of the temple, and I'm not saying there's not a line there. But we need to be very careful when we think that, hey, Christianity backs this war mentality and, hey, kill them all and let God sort them out, or, you know, blow them all to smithereens Hiroshima style or any of these kind of things. That's got to stop. First off, we don't have the money for it if we want to just talk economics. Secondly, on a moral quest, we don't hold the moral high ground here. We're not involved in just wars. We're violating our Constitution to be in, quote, the Ukraine fighting with Russia right now. You say, oh, no, Sam, we're not. We don't have troops on the ground. Yeah, you do. Don't lie to me. I'm not Judge Judy. Come on. Look, the fact is we have troops all over the world in over 130 nations, militarily speaking. We are funding in a soft coup kind of war, the Ukrainians against Russia. Why would we do that? Okay, we're training, abetting, arming, funding all these groups, all these people, for what reason? Oh, because by golly, the biblical Israel, you got to defend Israel or you're somehow a, you know, the bad guy, you're a terrorist or, you know, Israel. No, the country of Israel and the biblical Israel is not the same thing. Okay, the country of Israel is borders created by force and wars and government manipulation with America at the center of it, sadly. That isn't the biblical Israel. The biblical Israel is the 12 tribes of Israel. And in the last days, the Bible teaches that we're supposed to gather Israel, bring people together in peace, not in war. Anyway, Tucker's got some valid points on this one, doesn't he? Hang tight, Brian Rust, in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit CSPOA.org today. The time to act is now. CSPOA.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, Brian Rust is with me, ladies and gentlemen. RustCoinAgift.com when you want honest money. Brian Rust is your man, ladies and gentlemen. He's been working with his family, multi-generations, three generations, taking care of constitutional currency just for you and your family. If you need someone, you've got a friend in the honest money business. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how are you, Sam? Glad to be with you.
I'm doing very well. The headline says, Tucker slams Christians for not being more like him. I don't think that's a fair point at all, really, in the mainstream. It's in the press. It's AmericanLiberty.news, which I really like a lot of what they have to say and do. But in this case, I just kind of think they're not being really fair. Tucker's not criticizing people for not being more like him. He's really kind of talking about the Christians and going, what about the poor Christians suffering in this Israel battle? We take the side of Israel all the time, and we act like everybody else but Israel are terrorists, and Israel's like the Holy Grail, the God factor, and you can't touch Israel. But the country of Israel is as corrupt as any other government, and the borders were drawn up over time by people who, you know, conquer and whatever and force changes on nation states and everything else. We've been heavily involved in that for decades. And so I don't think that he's really saying, be more like me, Christians. He's really saying, why aren't you guys standing up for peace? And why are you letting a lot of these Christians that most folks don't even know about get slaughtered all in the defense of Israel, all in the funding of wars? And now they're going beyond funding. They're saying, forget the foreign aid, man. Let's just blow them all to smithereens. And Tucker's going, wait, hold on. I agree, Brian. What do you say?
Well, I agree as well. Yeah, well, Tucker has a voice. That's one thing. So, I mean, when he says, okay, why don't you be like me? And there's probably people out there, they don't have perhaps the voice that Tucker has, that can kind of go out on the air and interview people and these big high society or presidents of countries or whatever, but I'm just saying that he has that voice. And I'm sure there are a lot of people asking that same question. Look, we're slaughtering these innocent religious people as a result of your agenda. And you're right, as far as the country goes, these you know, leaders now in Israel, they're at war trying to protect, you know, taking whatever they want as far as border and land and so on. And that's what war is. I mean, I think you go back to, well, let's go back to the Romans or any of that. I mean, they conquered these, you know, country or areas that weren't as powerful as them so that they had more power, more individuals to help work their society or their agenda. And that's kind of what war is. It's not, you know, when they look at Christians, I mean, a lot of these governments want to destroy the Christian because they don't really believe in that. And it's all about, you know, maintaining their ability to be the powerful country they are. And a lot of those countries aren't good countries. They abuse their people and it's not a good sign. So
I'm kind of a redneck about this. I'm kind of a simpleton. I'm not very, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And so I kind of look at it like this, Brian, just let me kind of throw this out here. There's this guy named Jesus Christ, and he's also known as the Prince of Peace. And I believe that he is the only king that we will support. And we want to prepare people to wait for his return. We want us to become more humble, more kind, more repentant, more patient, more loving, more forgiving, more dedicated, all these things. We want to be true disciples of Christ waiting for our king to return. Meanwhile, though, I look at this thing and I go, this is really simple to me. When someone or a nation, which is a bunch of someones, if you will, when they do something bad, we got to reject it all the time. Don't care who it is. Don't care where. It's bad. Got to stop it. When they do something good, we need to support them and praise them and understand and give them credence, if you will. And when it's a situation where there's good and bad mixed together, what we need to do is learn to take items or issues or whatever, one little bit at a time, and make the right decisions on each issue. So Hamas going after Israel, horrible, evil, wrong, wicked. But Israel's retaliation, just as horrible, wrong, evil, wicked. And you say, what do you mean, Sam? Don't people have the right to defend themselves? Yes, if you're truly defending yourself, that's one thing. But when do we cross the line and we go from defensive to offensive here? When do we become part of the escalation as opposed to the de-escalation? And when we follow the Prince of Peace in America, that should be our standard mode. And I don't really see Israel just necessarily defending itself. I see it reaching out and wreaking havoc. Yes, always the mode of operandus is, oh, they attacked us first, or oh, they're evil and they this and that, and so we're going to now retaliate or whatever. That's always the excuse. But at the end of the day, though, I'm convinced that what we need to do is turn to God, keep his commandments, and be humble and kind and gentle and de-escalate, and God will protect us. He promises us that he'll protect us and heal our land if we repent and turn to him. And at some point, Christians need to glob onto that promise and be true to it, not just go, oh, man, Israel's God's country. Don't you dare take on Israel. We'll blow you to smithereens like Hiroshima if you do that. Whoa, we've just jettisoned our whole Christian viewpoint, our world history viewpoint based on Christ's life. Anyway, it's just fascinating to me how this disconnect happens, Brian.
No, you're right, Sam. I agree with absolutely everything you said. I think well put on that comment there. That was just well put. And I agree on the same fact. I believe in God, and I think that is the moral ground is to meet and sit down and try to work, you know, and together and in a peaceful manner. But we, you know, the society that we live in today, world we live in today is kind of turned against that. They've turned against God. They, you know, our leaders and so on, where we used to, you know, you'd stand and you'd have prayer at these meetings and you have that. Well, they've taken prayer completely out of the picture in a lot of places now. And so when those Christians that want to pray and want to continue to look, this is who we are. This is what we represent. How come you're taking these things away from us? Well, you really shouldn't have that in here because they don't like that. And you, instead of, you know, it becomes more of a dictatorship of this is what we're doing now. This is where we're at and follow along or we're just going to wipe you out. And that's kind of what they're saying to a lot of these people and countries and so on. Let's just go in and kill them all and just, you know, and so on. And I think that's where we've you know, the battle is you've got, you know, the Prince of Peace on one side, and then you've got Satan on the other side, and that battle is kind of, that's it. He's he's stirring up these minds of these people to fight against the Prince of Peace. And that's kind of where we're at in this country, unfortunately, and it's sad.
Amen. I am kind of a simpleton, and some people would be like, Sam, you're making this too simple. It's not that simple and not that easy. But I think that it is, Brian. I think that we can have a humble viewpoint. We can defend ourselves. If someone dies and we're defending ourselves, it's another discussion. We need to make sure we're always on the defensive, not the offensive side of the line. We need to make sure that we're advocating for peace, even though sometimes war is forced upon us and it's a must. I understand that. I'm not that naive. But I understand we can have a mentality, a viewpoint of something. We can say, look, we're not going to fund and promote and arm and train for wars to these foreign nations. And the logic has been, well, if we do that, internationally, then it won't come to a theater near us. But now that we're importing all kinds of illegals, many of them literally at fighting age, single men kind of stuff, we're bringing it to America by allowing our borders to leak like a sieve while we pretend we protect the borders of nations everywhere but here. And I look at this and I just go, man, this is more simple than we're making it. This is not complicated. We need to have a mentality of peace, and that should be our default move. If defensively we're forced to take action to protect homes and women and children, and by all means. But that's not what we're doing. We're in over 130 nations militarily. We've got the biggest budget by far spending on war of any nation, by far. And so at some point, we're a warlike people. And I don't think we can receive the blessings of God Almighty with that kind of war mentality on our mind.
Yeah, I think you're hitting good key points there. There's no doubt about it. We're heading in the wrong direction. And now leadership in this country is kind of, allowed, you create a plan basically in this country. You set some rules and this is how we should really maintain our lives and adhere to these rules and work together for the greater good. And we've gone away from that. We've opened borders. Our leadership are doing things that they don't have power to do, but they're doing it anyway. The complexity of all that's going on kind of clutters our lives. I'm with you. I'm simple. And I think we need to get back to God, country, and our family and try to, come together for good.
And sadly, we seem to have two viewpoints. When they came back from Vietnam, we treated them all like dirt, like they were the bad guys, even though they went to war by force, most of them. And many of them signed up because they believed in America, but found out it wasn't the bill of gold. It was a bill of goods they were sold. It was kind of bogus. But either way, we treated them like dirt when they came home. Wrong answer. But the other attitude we have is, hey, if you came home from war, it's like we celebrate you as a hero and a rock star. And, most real military people that have been there and done that are like, don't call me a hero. This isn't what you think it is, number one. And number two, I'm not a hero. I just did what I had to do. I don't want to be there. I don't want to fight. Okay. And these attitudes seem to permeate our viewpoint. They're either a rock star or the enemy, but we can't just reverence them for the service they rendered, but make sure that we're not going to put their children in the same place. We don't want history to repeat itself. All you Vietnam fathers and mothers and people out there, we don't want this to happen to your children, and you need to help us make sure that it doesn't happen to your children. But we seem to have the wrong answer about it all the way through. Now, I want to thank someone for their service, but I don't want to treat them as a rock star. I'm sure they're not feeling very rock starish when many of their friends are dead and when they've just seen such horrific evil and destruction. And okay, I don't want to just walk around and go, high five, dude, that was incredible. How many did you kill? No, people. We need to come back and say thank you for your service and have a reverence for what they've done. And then our pledge to them needs to be, we will do our very best never to repeat those actions again. Isn't that the message we should be sending, Ryan?
Yeah, that's exactly the message. And it was absolutely kind of sad to see how we treated them as they came back. And now, I agree. I get a lot of guys that come into my shop and so on, and we're grateful for what they do. There are some that want to share the story. There's others that don't want to talk about it. But yeah, we definitely need to change that, where that was, and not go down that same path.
Reverence for loved ones and countrymen that served, no doubt. Celebration of victory and conquest, absolutely not. I maintain, like Tucker, we should follow the Prince of Peace and stand for Christians everywhere. But we need to be defensive, not offensive about it. Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. Inflation continues back upward, rising again in the last month. USA's John Schaefer with more.
As inflation continues to surge, significant price hikes are evident across various sectors. A recent report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics indicates a notable increase in 12-month price growth, rising from 3.2% in February to 3.5% in March. Additionally, AAA is reporting a rise of approximately 20 cents per gallon in the average price of regular gasoline over the past month.
New allegations about Boeing structural issues have surfaced. Lisa Banks, an attorney for a Boeing whistleblower, says he claims the company's 787 Dreamliner is not safe to fly.
He is alleging that Boeing knowingly took a series of manufacturing shortcuts.
Whistleblower Sam Salapur, a Boeing engineer, told the New York Times these shortcuts caused parts of the fuselage to be improperly put together, which could result in the plane falling apart after years of use. This as Boeing deals with assembly issues involving its older 737 aircraft. Former President Trump says he would not sign a national abortion ban into law if elected president. Trump called the overturning of Roe v. Wade an incredible achievement, but says abortion laws should be left up to the states to decide. President Biden says publicly the White House is considering what authority he might already have to shut down the U.S. southern border.
Some are suggesting I should just go ahead and try it, and if I get shut down by the court, I get shut down by the court.
During an interview with Univision, in the meantime, Congress has a bill before it that would give a U.S. president that authority. So far, it has stalled. This is USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty, and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with managed IT services.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Yours truly, along with Brian Rust. RustCouldn'tGive.com. You've got a friend in the honest money business. All right, gold's been up lately, huh, Brian?
Well, yeah, gold's climbing. Today, 2,349.60.
2,349.60. That's up a lot, man.
Yeah, it's up. You're correct. It's we're almost $100 higher than we were last week.
2,349.60 for gold. Silver?
2,839.
That's way up too, right? 2,839.
Yeah, another buck and a half up.
Although it's not where we think it ought to be, even though it is way high, right?
Correct.
Now, yeah, some say that silver is going to have a greater correction than gold, but so far we're not really seeing that. Somebody brought that up to me, and my response to that is, since silver is used in so many more things than gold is, they have a greater paper playability on silver, don't they?
They do have that, and right now there's prediction. They're saying it's poised to a breakout point kind of with silver, but obviously with those industrial applications, it kind of they manipulate a little more on that. But there, you know, we have, if you realize that we have a lot of those solar panel cities, and you go out by Nephi there, and there's a big one. There's out in Richfield, and I know there are other places across the country. They're, you know, with they're pushing this agenda of clean air and power going off coal or whatever, all the other power sources, they're really pushing for these solar cities type thing, and that's major applications in the silver.
I submit to you, though, that it's a lie. I mean, I know when the solar panel's sitting there and it's getting, you know, the sun and it's turning into electricity, you think, oh, this is clean, this is awesome, this is incredible. But I think they're lying to you. The cost to produce solar panels in the first place, along with the complications in terms of the environment and the, you know, the mining that it takes and the all the work that it takes and chemicals it takes to create the solar panels, and then eventually at the end of the day, the destruction or the disposal of the solar panels and anything else, it's not green like they want you to believe that it is. It's a lie.
Yeah.
And it's actually not even more green than coal is. It's worse. Brian?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, these windmills and all these things, they kind of walk away when it's not working and leave, you know, how do you dispose of this these things, and absolutely no doubt about it. What was it, Germany? I think Germany went and tested the cycle. I mean, they went from, you know, the coal and all that to these windmill cities, windmills across the country and solar and all that, and then they found that it wasn't a success, and then they've gone back. Now we're, you know, they've gone away from this, and now they're back on coal and other. So, yeah.
All right, I don't really know where to go with that except to say this. I'm excited that gold and silver are up. Really, the truth is gold and silver are not up at all. The dollar's down is the real point, right?
Yeah, you got a lot of, you know, what is it? It's the inflation that we're looking at, and people are, where are we going to put our money? You know, stock markets and other things have dropped, and people are saying, okay, you know, and so you get your central banks across the world are buying up metal, and so we're seeing kind of the switch, and that's pushing the prices.
All right, where do you think it's going to go from here?
Well, what is the Bank of America predicted that gold hit 3,000 by 2025. They were pushing silver to go hit $35 this year, but if gold goes to 3,000, I think we'll see a higher surge in silver as well. So.
There's a big concern about BRICS expansion versus the United States and its currency. The Blaze has this piece, and it talks about the BRICS was originally composed of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. But now BRICS has doubled in size with new members, Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, the Emerald Emirates, or the United Emirates. Literally, we're talking about half of the world's population with those groups and 30% of the global economy. And now there's like 30 more countries that want to sign up for this thing. This, in my mind, is disaster. Not because it needs to be disaster, but because we've depended upon the dollar and forced the dollar to be the world's currency, and then we've printed and lent money to the point where it's out of control. And if people undermine the dollar now, it's going to put America in harm's way. We act like they're the bad guys. But what they're trying to do is say, you guys are the bad guys, and look what you've done. Look how irresponsible you've been. And as far as I understand, BRICS is partially backed by honest money, gold, right?
Yeah.
And so at some point I go, who's the irresponsible one in the room now? And sadly, I have to say the United States is. Now, I'm not telling you that all these other countries are great. I'm just telling you they at least see the moral hazard we've created, and they're going, enough of it. Do you blame them, Brian?
No, and if you look at history, you can go back into the Roman era. I mean, they who held the power? They held the money and the power, and then they made stupid choices and spread themselves out, and before you know it, they lost the power and fell. And every country, France and Great Britain and all them who have had the currency of the world, lost it, and we're repeating that cycle. And so we're at a breaking point. And I think all these other countries don't want to deal in the dollar. They're fed up with us. We put sanctions on this, that, and the other, and they don't want to trade with us or that, and they're going away from it. So I think, we're not in a good place. And I think, obviously I don't know how we come out of trillions. I mean, we say, we can make it. Well, we just keep pushing kicking the can down the road. I mean, they're saying that we need the $10 trillion defense dilemma that's, doubling NATO's defense spending. Why are we doing it? Because we see a situation there throughout the world and all these wars, and we just can't keep spending trillions and trillions and come out of it. We're just not going to do it.
You're right about that. And I know that's a discouraging thing to talk about. But the reason we talk about it is because there are things that can be done. And I'll give you an example. I'm not here to love BRICS, but I will say this. We're saying, hey, we're going to start something. We're going to back it by constitutional currency, gold. And, why don't we just in America work on decreasing the money supply? You would say, well, Sam, that'll create inflation like you wouldn't believe. It depends on how we do it. If we open it up to competing currency, if we eventually start getting the dollar backed by real honest money instead of just petrodollar or the oil dollars, if we back it by honest money, and if we slowly but surely, that's what BRICS is doing. They don't have theirs 100% backed by whatever, but they're starting somewhere, and that's what we could do. We could really make that kind of difference. And the BRICS expansion is only because all these other countries feel threatened by our moral hazard leadership, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So they've kind of working together now. China, mentioned last time, they took 2/3 of all gold production. And so, they're putting themselves in a place. I read something here where Zimbabwe now has a new gold-backed currency, the new ZIG. So I don't know, gold-backed currency, I don't know how they're, but anyway, they're coming out with a new gold-backed. It's a mess. I don't know where how we can kind of, get control. We're just reckless abandon right now in spending, and it's a real mess.
All right, well, there's a lot of ways to gauge inflation, and Joe Biden wants to lie about inflation. He wants to make you believe somehow that hey, everything is fine, things are getting better, things are better under Trump. I mean, under him than under Trump, but that's a lie. It isn't true. And people have been fact-checking Joe Biden on this. And I look at that and I go, I appreciate that. But to me, we've got to kind of ask ourselves, what's going to happen? You've got all these countries in BRICS. This has happened literally in a very short amount of time. And they say that it's doubled in size in the last couple of years. And now more than 34 countries or more than 30 more countries want to join BRICS. How long will it be till the dollar is just swamped by this? Now, some say we can still hold on to the dollar's power and majesty and authority, and regardless of it all, I wouldn't be so fast. It may not be today or tomorrow or even in 2 years, But eventually, if they stick with this by their sheer number of population and their sheer economic pull, I mean, 50% of the world's population and 30% of the economy right now, what will it look like if those other 30-plus nations join? And then after they join, who else will want to join? I mean, this could happen way more rapidly than people realize, Brian.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And one of the other factors, too, is you've got elitists take you to, you know, they take you to war. And so they'll look at this as a threat, a national security threat. And now we're war. And is it war against these other 30 countries and perhaps more? See, that's the scary situation right there.
Roger that. Hang tight. Brian Rust with me, RustQuinnegut.com. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. We're truth tellers, baby, on your radio.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit cspoa.org today. The time to act is now. cspoa.org.
I mentioned that Joe Biden's lying about inflation. Fox News host Sandra Smith fact-checked Joe Biden. Yeah, Sandra Smith, Fox News, fact-checked Joe Biden Wednesday following a video clip where he made remarks. He said at the White House, Biden claimed that inflation was lower under him than it was under the Trump administration. Well, she fact-checked him, caught him in a lie. Smith called out Biden for his claims about inflation, calling them false. Exclamation point. There you I look at that and go, wow, there you have it. But more and more people are starting to realize Biden's lying. And that's not going to go well for him at election time. Brian, it's just not. You can say that all day and people don't believe you already when you get fact checked by people and they say it's false. But no matter what, your day-to-day life, when you go to the pump, when you buy groceries, when you try to get gas, whatever you try to do, people are realizing intuitively, you don't have to tell me much. I can see it all over my bank account, right?
That's exactly right. Everybody's seeing it and it's pinching their bottom line and and for them to come out and just lie, I'm a little bit nervous about, you know, what their agenda is, because they've got him as the running mate. I just don't even see how he can compete even in that arena. So what is the agenda? They've got someone, I would say, just common sense would say, well, he's not the person we really should put in place to run for this country again, based on what he's done and catching him on all these things. And I'm just interested. I'm very interested to see just where this is headed, how he's going to accomplish what's going to happen. And is it going to be more of the same that we had a number of years ago when he became the president? Because of just the games that were played, they don't want to go back and check anything. There's, well, it wasn't this and it wasn't that, but we know it was. And so you have all these things going on, and I'm just very interested to just see where this goes. But yeah, for him to just come out and lie, he's and not just this, there's a number of things he's lied about and caught on. And so, yeah, very, very interested to see what's
all right. Well, I want to use this gauge of inflation. A lot of people use the Big Mac Index. A lot of people use all kinds of different ways to kind of back into this thing. But I got one for you that I think is quite relevant. Headline says the United States Postal Service, USPS, wants you to pay more for stamps once again. It hopes to start charging 73 cents per stamp in July. Kate Simmons, Newser.com with this piece. The U.S. Postal Service said on Tuesday that it wants to raise the price again. Okay, it'll be the fourth increase since the start of 2023. So literally in a little over a year, they've raised the price of stamps four times. The cost of a stamp was most recently bumped up 2 cents to 68 cents in January, but now they want to push it up five more cents to 73 cents. The journal notes that it would mark the sixth increase since 2020. Those numbers are startling. And when you look at it, though, that probably mirrors the real inflationary reality. Now, you would say, no, stamps are just needing to catch up. Catch up? What are you talking about? How much were stamps when you were a kid, Brian?
Trying to see, what was it, 10 cents, 15 cents? Maybe a little more than that. Yeah, I think you look at what the United Postal Service pays for. I mean, pensions for all these elitists in the White House and all the government people. But the sad thing is I think you could raise it and not, it's like, okay, well, it was 65 cents and we're going to 70 cents, or it was 58, or going to those little jumps. People don't kind of buy into perhaps that. I mean, I guess if you look at it and so on, but hey, we can move it a few more cents and make X amount of money, or move it this, it's under a dollar. I think people, oh, okay. I mean, I don't know, but it is increased. There's no doubt about it. But what they're covering so many things, government-wise, that they have to keep raising it, I think, because they're sending a lot of money out the other side.
All right, there you have it. I just look at this and go, man, to me, the stamps seem to be a whole lot better gauge of what's really going on. But the sixth increase since 2020, six increases in 4 years, they're out of control.
A lot. It's a lot. You're right.
All right. Well, I guess it turns out that Lunchables contain unhealthy lead levels and unhealthy levels of sodium. That's according to testing by Consumer Reports, which has launched a petition urging the Department of Agriculture to remove these kits from government school lunches. Yeah, they can't have them in the schools, they say. That contains lead and too much sodium. What do you say to that, Brian?
Wow, that doesn't sound right. Hey, I want to digress just a second. I looked up what it costs to mail a letter in England. It's a £1 .35. So £1 35 pence,
which really means a dollar and a half almost, right?
Yeah, that's right. So we're kind of maybe not doing too bad. But anyway, I digressed on that a little bit.
Yeah. Anyway, that's fascinating.
Anyway, yeah, I don't know. What's in these Lunchables? That doesn't. Weren't they really pushing for, hey, we've got to get more better nutrition into the schools, and this is one way to do it? I don't know. It seemed like that's Lunchables, maybe not the best way to do that.
Well, very, very strange. Why are we hearing that they contain lead and unhealthy levels of this and that? Where's the Food and Drug Administration when you need them? They didn't do a very good job, did they?
They didn't do it. Maybe they, isn't it the lead paint? Maybe it's where they're storing those Lunchables. Maybe that lead
that's
paint.
That's a fair point.
Maybe that's the issue. The freezers or whatever, the rooms or whatever that they're storing those could be contaminated.
Yeah, I'm thinking no lead in the diet, personally.
That's right. You know? Well, I used to chew on my pencil at school. Maybe that wasn't a good thing.
Yeah, that's what happened to Brian, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
That's right.
A panel of undecided voters were on the Morning Joe show. They were featured on MSNBC's Morning Joe. And that's a liberal audience, if you are not aware, people. But anyway, they were asked a question on this panel. They were asked if former President Donald Trump's economic policies were better for families than the Joe Biden policies. And they all raised their hands. And sadly, Morning Joe was shocked. But they say the problem is it's too obvious. You can't expect anything different, because 1 in 5 homeowners and renters say they're skipping meals to afford their housing now under Biden's economy, according to a Friday survey conducted by real estate company Redfin. So I look at that and I go, why are these Morning Joe people surprised? I mean, it's that bad. People can feel it. People can, I mean, they can sense it. They can know they're struggling to make ends meet. Everybody knows. And so it's one thing for Biden to lie, but then for the Morning Joe people to be surprised that everybody's going, yeah, Donald was better. Economically speaking, I don't think it's debatable. I don't care what political stripes you wear, Brian.
Right. That didn't help his show, I'm sure. But when you're giving a goodie bag to people crossing the border and here's a check, they've got to rob from Peter to pay Paul. And so that's probably what happened.
Wow. All right. Well, I appreciate that. There's a CEO now. He's with what's called Key Advisors Wealth Management. His name is Eddie Gaver. Eddie Gaver. On Wednesday, he said that it was a mistake for Joe Biden administration to say inflation would fall, because you know what he's predicting? He's saying inflation will ramp up again. Sadly, I agree with the CEO. I don't agree with Joe. Ryan.
That's exactly right. Inflation data, just that's why I think people are starting to look at metal and other investment things, because they're a little bit nervous. But yeah, I mean, inflation's there. That's why I'm shocked that he's the running for the Democrats. He's their favorite person, because he's done a terrible job in this country, and inflation is so bad, and he can't buy into it. He keeps saying, well, we're better off, and he keeps lying on TV and talking. Look what I've done. Okay, well, let's look what you've done. You don't want to see that, because it's not a good picture. And so we're not in a good place. We've got a lot of things happening, and they're going to keep printing money, and you can't keep printing money and if they're printing money and paying everything out, how come we're paying more at the pump? Why is it a dollar a gallon if it's so good and we're doing so great? You can just keep printing money. It doesn't work that way. So it's not good.
Yeah, it's not good at all. It's very scary. And, you know, I want people to realize this is serious. But I don't want people to melt down and get what's the term? I don't want you to get so panicked that you believe it's the end of the world and that you get discouraged and all that kind of stuff. I think we need to be very careful to realize how serious the situation is, but not go negative, Brian.
Yeah, I agree too. We paint sometimes a little an ugly picture. Hope. There is hope. I think we turn to God and we continue to have faith and pray. But I do very much feel bad for a lot of people that are having to take more jobs on or go without food because they can't pay the rent. I feel bad for them. I mean, it's not a good thing.
All right, Brian, thank you so much, sir. We appreciate all that you do.
Hey, thanks. And one thing. Hey, copper prices hit a record here, $4.32 a pound.
I told you soon copper will be $35, just like gold used to be, and silver's about to hit. Pretty soon it'll be copper at $35, people. That just shows how far we've fallen. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Sam. You bet. Thanks.
Brian Rust, RustQuinnGift.com, ladies and gentlemen. You've got a friend in the honest money business. Thanks so much for being alongside for the ride. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, share the love. God save the Republic of the United States of America.